Well, this morning we are continuing our series on the Ten Commandments, and this morning we come to the Fifth Commandment. And as you probably know, the Fifth Commandment reads like this: honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, listening to those young adults in that video talk makes me, frankly, kind of wonder, what in the world does the Fifth Commandment have to say to us today? What does the Fifth Commandment have to say to young adults from those kinds of homes? I think it's a good question, because if we're honest, today we live in a society with broken homes. Over half of our homes in America are what we would describe as broken homes. We have abusive homes as well. Unlike the days in which Moses spoke, we also have homes that are fragmented. We have extended families that live thousands of miles apart. That was very different from when Moses spoke these words. We have an entire culture that caters to youthism and sort of marginalizes older people in our society. So let's be honest. It's easy to think of this command as coming from some bygone era that has very little to do with our society and our culture and our lives today. I think that all of us can relate to one man's complaint. Listen to what he said. He said, youth today have luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, and tyrannize their elders. Now, what may surprise you is who wrote that. You know who wrote that? Socrates wrote that. And Socrates, of course, lived about 400 years before the time of Christ. And that reminds us that every generation of young people have had issues with their parents. And so maybe that's why the very first of the Ten Commandments that deals with family life actually addresses how we relate to our parents. I was thinking about this week, and what struck me is, you know, why didn't Moses start with parents? Why didn't Moses start with parents and how parents relate to their children? I mean, why not start by telling parents to love and care for and take responsibility for their children? Why start with how children relate to parents? And I wonder if it's because for parents, it comes much more naturally to them, right? Nobody really has to teach a young mother to care for her little baby. But when it comes to honoring our parents, it's not quite so easy. And it's very clear that we're not the only generation that has felt this. This command, the Fifth Commandment, I want you to know, is given a very prominent place in the list of ten. The placement of this command actually shows how important it is that we relate to our parents in a healthy way. We know that when God gave us this law, when He gave us these Ten Commandments, we know that it was written down on two tablets. So the law was traditionally divided into two parts. The first four commandments have traditionally been distinguished from the last six commandments. Remember that the first four commandments deal with our relationship to whom? To God. Our vertical relationship. The last six commandments deal with our relationship with other people. So the first four teach us how to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The last six teach us how to love our neighbor as ourself. And it's very important. Those two things have to go together. Because unless you love God, unless you know God, you really can't love your neighbor as yourself. So you can't separate these two things. But isn't it interesting that when Moses and ultimately God begins to talk about how we love our neighbor, isn't it interesting that he begins with our home? He begins with our parents. And this is very important to realize. Loving your neighbor begins at home. Loving your neighbor begins at home. And it's important to realize that. Home life starts with how we relate to our parents. So this relationship between children and parents is foundational to every other relationship. Many, many years ago, St. Augustine realized this. And Augustine said, "If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare?" Interesting quote. If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? Probably not. Because the relationship between parent and child is the first and primary relationship of life. It's the foundation for all other relationships we have. And it's actually the foundation for all of human society. Think about it. Our family is our first hospital, isn't it? Our family is our first school. Our family is our first government. Our family is our first church. And so if we don't learn to honor authority at home, then we will not honor it anywhere else in our lives. It's foundational. And honestly, I think that's why some of the most frightening curses in the Old Testament are reserved for those who dishonor and rebel against their parents. Let me just give you a taste of one. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Listen to this. Moses says, "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear of it and fear." Well, that'd be a great passage to teach at a youth retreat, wouldn't it? I mean, that's pretty sobering. I mean, we just assume today that breaking the fifth commandment is an ordinary part of growing up. We don't blink at the cover of a magazine for teenage girls that has printed across the front, "Do you really hate your parents? Like, who doesn't?" So I'm not saying that we should put into effect the death penalty for those who have that attitude. But it's pretty clear that God sees dishonoring our parents as a grave sin. Agreed? In the New Testament, this is even seen as one of the signs that we're in the last days. Listen to what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy." The list actually goes on, but what a fitting description, isn't it, of American culture. Now, because of its importance, we need to really study this command carefully. We need to know actually what this commandment means. And so obviously the most important word in this command is the word honor. And it's important we understand what this word honor means. The Hebrew word is maybe a little bit different than you would think. The Hebrew word for honor literally means heavy or weighty. It's actually a word in the Old Testament that's used to describe the glory of God. So when we say God is glorious, what are we saying? We're saying God is weighty. God is heavy, if you will. You and I grudgingly step onto the scale and we hope we weigh less, not more. But this is a different kind of weight. In this case, it's like a nugget of gold. The more it weighs, the more significant it is. And so when someone is weighty, we take them seriously. To honor our parents is to give due weight to their position, to hold them in the highest esteem, to value them. So when we give weight to something, what do? When we give weight to something, we give it our time, we give it our energy, and we give it our attention. And so maybe it's good to ask yourself, what do I give weight to in my life? What do I give my time, energy, and attention to in my life? How much weight do I give to my work, my career? How much weight do I give to my health? How important is that to me? How seriously do I take that? How much weight do I give to my financial condition? How heavy is that in my life? How much weight do I give to my favorite sports team? It's interesting. Every Monday night, I turn on the television, and I like this show called 24. Some of you like it. You're Jack Bauer fans like I am. And so every Monday night, I turn on 24, and I tune out everything else. And in essence, what I am saying is, listen, I want to give weight to this show in my life. Don't bother me. I'm giving weight. I'm taking this show seriously, if you will. I have a lot of respect for the elders of this church. I've journeyed with these guys for decades, and I love them and I trust them. And so when they speak into my life, I listen. And I usually do what they tell me to do because I give weight to them. They're heavy individuals in my life. That's what it means to honor our parents. Give them weight. Take them seriously. Notice this commandment includes both mothers and fathers. And we know that in other places in the scripture, we know that fathers are given that important responsibility as being leaders in their homes, particularly spiritual leaders. We know that they are given that responsibility. But it's also really important to understand that mothers deserve every bit as much honor as fathers. Amen? Okay. I think you agree with that. That was a very weak amen. But Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." So to include both mothers and fathers is both unusual and relevant. I mean, that was an ancient culture that was totally patriarchal. And yet it's very significant that he doesn't just say father, he says mother as well. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus 19, mothers are even mentioned first. It says, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." In certain ways, a mother can be easier for a child to take advantage of, but God says they deserve equal respect. I remember so well as a growing child when I got to the point that when my mother spanked me, it didn't hurt. Now, when my father spanked me, it hurt. But I got to that point in my life as a young boy where I realized, you know what? I could defy my mother because she'd spank me and it didn't hurt. And that's when she started saying, "Wait till your father gets home." But it's very clear, mothers and fathers are together in this. Mothers and fathers deserve equal respect. And actually, one of the ways a father leads his family is by honoring his wife and insisting that the children honor her as well. That's very important. Now, we might also ask the question, why? So why should we honor our parents? And I could come up with a whole list of reasons that parents deserve to be honored. I'm sure you could too. One of the reasons is that they sacrifice a lot. I don't know. I've seen some of those statistics about how much money it takes to raise a kid. I mean, it takes a lot of money to raise a kid, right? And so sacrifice. And if you're a parent, you know what it takes. You know the sacrifice of time and money and energy that it takes to raise a child. So that's one reason. Another reason they deserve to be honored and respected and listened to is the experience that they have, the life experience they have. I mean, that should be reason enough just to kind of stop and listen right there. The Bible even goes so far as to say that when a child honors his or her parents, that they are doing not only what is right, but they are doing what honors the Lord. They are doing something that the Lord is pleased with. It's not just the parents deserve to be honored. It's also by learning to honor them, as I said earlier, that we learn to honor authority in general. Years ago, different groups of Christians would write what they called catechisms to help teach people the basics of the faith. And one of those catechisms was called the Heidelberg Catechism. And it says here in the Heidelberg Catechism that the fifth commandment requires that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my mother and father and to all who are set in authority over me. So when God tells us to honor our parents, to respect our parents, by implication, He's telling us to respect other authorities in our life. And we all have other authorities, right? Our government is an authority in our life. Our employer, in a sense, is an authority in our life. We have church leaders, in a sense, who are authorities as well. So this is a reminder that all of us are people who live under authority. Who are the authorities in your life? Who are the people you look to, you listen to, you weigh heavy in your life? Now, these are all good reasons for us to keep the fifth commandment. But the best reason to keep the fifth commandment is found right here in the fifth commandment. Did you notice what it was? It says, honor your father and your mother. And then look what it says. That your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. There's the reason right there. The reason to keep the fifth commandment is that it's for your own good. It serves your own self-interest. As a matter of fact, that's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says this is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. It serves your best interest. So I think maybe God said, you know, in His wisdom, I know how hard it is for this to happen. I know how hard it is for kids to respect their parents, to honor their parents. So I'm going to give them a reward. I'm going to attach a reward to this command. And the reward is what it says right here. It will go well with you. Your life will be prolonged. What does that mean? This had special significance for the Israelites. They had just been brought out of the land of slavery. God promised, remember, to bring them to a new land, the promised land. And what He's saying here is that, listen, one of the ways you as a nation can prolong your days in the land, one of the days you as a nation can thrive in the land that I'm giving you is by honoring your father and your mother. This was not an automatic guarantee that every child who obeyed their parents would live until they were 90. Nor is an indication that someone who dies young somehow disobeyed their parents. That's not what this is saying. The words that it may go well with you on the land speak of the fullness of God's blessing, not just physically, but spiritually. It really means, I think, in New Testament terms, to have abundant life, to have eternal life. That's what it means, that it may go well with you, that your days may be prolonged. You see, I think the assumption here, actually, is that fathers and mothers are the ones primarily who are teaching their children how to know and love God. That's the responsibility of a parent. Proverbs says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life, they will add to you." See, that's a commentary really on the fifth commandment. You want life and peace? Father is saying, then listen as your parents teach you about a God who loves you. Listen as your parents teach you about a God who loved you enough to send his son to die for you. And for many of you here today, the abundant eternal life that you enjoy as a direct result of listening to your parents' teaching. And yet that's not true for everyone. I want you to know that that actually was not true of me in my life. Like many of you and like many of the kids in that video that we saw, I had really a growing up that was, I think, in something of a dysfunctional home. Many of you grew up in what we would call dysfunctional homes. Some of you grew up in abusive homes. And so you're kind of wondering, well, what does this mean for me? You don't know my parents. You don't know what I've had to go through. And so it's a very good question to ask. What does this commandment mean for you? Before I answer that question, one of the things I want to say is that the Bible is full of dysfunctional families. Did you know that? It's really important to realize that. I mean, let's just take a little slice of the Bible. Try Genesis on for size. I mean, you got, first of all, you got Adam and Eve. You know, what kind of home is it where one of the sons murders his brother? Dysfunctional home. You know, and then you've got you've got Isaac and Rebecca. You know, there's a great deal for you. You got Rebecca deceiving her husband Isaac, manipulating a situation so that her favorite son Jacob could inherit the blessing. A manipulator, a deceiver, a liar. Dysfunctional home. You got Abraham. Passing his own wife off as his sister to save his own skin. Here, you take her. She's not my wife. She's my sister. I mean, we got all kinds of problems in the Bible. We got all kinds of dysfunctional families in the Bible. Dishonorable parents are nothing new. I think the best example in Scripture of how to handle dysfunctional parents and authorities comes from the story of two best friends. And I'm going to just spend a little bit of time on this one. So hang with me, okay? You know the story of David and Jonathan? These two guys, their hearts were knit together as young men, especially on the battlefield against the Philistines. And yet, they really had bigger problems than just with the Philistines. They also had Jonathan's father, King Saul, to deal with. Saul was an angry, insecure, unpredictable man. During one battle, Saul swore that he would curse any soldier who took anything to eat before he, Saul, was able to avenge his enemies. Jonathan, his son, didn't hear that oath. Jonathan found some honey in a honeycomb, ate the honey. When Saul found out, Saul looked at his own son and said, "You shall surely die." So here's a man who is willing to kill his own son for a mouthful of food. That's the kind of man he is. Saul treated David even worse. You may remember at first, Saul loved David. He appreciated him. He loved how David would play the harp for him, and it soothed him. But as David began to be more and more recognized, Saul became more and more jealous and envious of David. Remember? To the point that he was trying to kill David. First, Saul tried to nail him to the wall with a spear. He missed. David escaped. Then Saul tried to have David killed in battle. Tried to arrange it so that he'd be killed. He failed. Then Saul ordered his own son Jonathan to kill David. And it's interesting, that put Jonathan in a bind. Now here is a son wanting to honor his father. His father says, "Jonathan, kill David." What do you do in that situation? Jonathan did the right thing. He knew murder was wrong. He honored God by disobeying his father. He warned David of what his father was up to, and then he confronted his father. And he said, "Father, why should you shed innocent blood by killing David without cause?" Now think about this. In doing this, Jonathan was not dishonoring his father. He was honoring his father. And he was honoring him by trying to get his father to do the right thing. As adults, the command to honor our parents does not mean that we do everything they tell us. It does not mean that. We have to honor God first. Sometimes I believe we honor our parents best by trying to preserve their honor. And sometimes that means keeping them from doing something extremely stupid or even evil. That's what Jonathan did. David faced a similar dilemma. Saul wasn't his father, but he was an authority figure in his life. He was king. Saul had a manhunt on for David. David had a perfect opportunity during this manhunt. David ends up with a perfect opportunity to kill Saul. David's men saw this as a God thing. They said, "David, finally, God promised you to deliver you from your enemy. Here it is. Now kill him." David refused. David said, "The Lord forbid that I should put my hand against the Lord's anointed." So that is honoring a man, not because he is honorable, but because he held an honored position. Sometimes we have to do that. We have to honor someone who is not honorable because they hold an honorable position. When Saul found out that David passed on a chance to kill him, Saul repented. And it's interesting, he invited David to make peace with him, and he invited David to come home with him. And what's fascinating about this is David refused. He honored him as king, but he had learned his lesson through repeated experience that he could not trust this man. So the command to honor parents, listen to this now, the command to honor parents doesn't mean that we never set boundaries in our relationship with them. And at times there are necessary boundaries we have to make with parents in our lives. Submitting to authority never means subjecting yourself to violence or abuse. There are times to say to a parent, "Listen, because of how you have broken my trust over and over again, at least for now, I cannot be in a close relationship with you." You honor them more, listen to me, you honor them more by doing that than by allowing them to continue in their destructive ways. Now, most of us aren't in that kind of family. Some of us are. Most of us aren't. Our parents may be far from perfect, but they still deserve from us a lifetime of honor. And so let me talk to you for a few minutes about how to give your parents a lifetime of honor. First of all, for children. The fifth commandment is for children. And we probably have a few children in here today. So I'm just going to talk directly to children. God wants you to obey your parents. He wants you to speak respectfully to your parents. He wants you to tell your parents the truth. He wants you to listen to what they have to say. Your parents may not always do everything right, but they know what's best for you. And if you do what they tell you to do, you will live a happier life. The fifth commandment is also for teenagers. We have a few teenagers here with us this morning. We usually have more in the second service because they enjoy their sleep on Sunday mornings. But you teenagers have the biggest challenge. Your middle school and high school culture tells you that your parents are out of it. They don't get the world you live in. Your job simply is to keep them happy enough that they will stay out of your business and let you do what you want. Let me encourage you to rethink that. First of all, do you know, have you considered the possibility that God chose the parents you have just for you? They were His choice for you. Believe it or not, they're what you need. And believe it or not, no one knows you better than your parents know you. So honor them by accepting them. Honor them even by thanking God for them. Here's a wild one. Honor them by speaking well of them to your friends. Honor them by listening to their perspective. Some of their warnings about who you spend your time with and where you go and what you do actually will serve to save you from a lot of pain. Honor them by talking to them. A grunt here, a grunt there, that's not what I'm talking about. Honor them by telling the truth. It's no secret that most all teenagers lie to their parents. We'd like to say it's not true, but statistics show that the percentages are really, really high. You know, and probably there are different degrees of lying, right? Different ways of lying, but the fact of the matter is most teenagers lie to their parents. It's a fact. That's the norm. And so if there's any teenagers here this morning, I challenge you to be different. I challenge you to be different. The fifth commandment is also for young adults. A strange thing happens when a young person turns 20 or so. All of a sudden, their parents change and become okay. Have you noticed that? But it's also at that age that you can see your parents more clearly for who they really are. You can see how your parents are broken and flawed, like everyone else. And it's time as a young adult to extend to your parents the same grace that you yourself need. You have major decisions to make about education, career, relationships, maybe even marriage. Ultimately, those decisions are yours to make. But you can honor your parents by seeking their counsel and their blessing in those decisions that you have to make. When I first decided to become a pastor, my parents didn't support me. As a matter of fact, they thought I was a little crazy. And at that time in my life, in my early 20s, I was a tremendous disappointment to my parents. And I know that my parents were embarrassed to tell their friends what their son was planning on doing as a career. I know that. And so they tried to talk me out of it. As a matter of fact, it's a funny story that my wife and I, it's funny now, it wasn't then, but my wife and I like to talk about is that we both remember so vividly sitting down at the dinner table with my parents one night. It was before we were married. And my father and mother were trying to talk my wife out of marrying me. I'm not kidding. And their reasoning was, you know what, he is never going to have a dime. I mean, he's going to become a pastor. He is never going to have a dime. And you know what? You're absolutely crazy to marry this guy. She married me anyway, obviously. But it's funny. You know, with that, I had to go against my parents' wishes. In choosing to become a pastor, I went against my parents' wishes. Now, they later became very supportive and encouraging and helpful. And as many of you know, my father is a committed believer now. So that's a wonderful turnaround in our family. But you know what? Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." And so there are times in your life where you have to make a decision and you have to say, you know what? I hear you, mom and dad. I love you. I honor you. But God is calling me to do this, and I have to be obedient to God. At the same time, as a young adult, as I was trying to make important decisions in my life, I always went to my parents. Even when they were unbelievers, I went to my parents for advice. And you know what? I found that about 90% of the time, they were right on the money because they knew me. And they had life experience. And so they oftentimes gave me very, very good counsel and advice. Finally, the fifth commandment is for adults. It's for people in their 30s and 40s and 50s. And yes, some of you who still have parents that are alive, even in your 60s. I should tell you that quite a few scholars actually believe the fifth commandment was written primarily to adults. Primarily to adults with elderly parents. Remember, in those days, there was no social security system at all. And several generations, extended families, would live together under one roof. If kids didn't care for their parents and grandparents, then they were sunk. So honoring your parents means you take responsibility for their care. Surveys show that barely half of Americans believe it's their responsibility to care for their parents in their old age. Barely half. We're in trouble. When Jesus saw Pharisees refusing to care for their elderly parents because of money that would have been spent on them had been devoted to God, Jesus quoted the fifth commandment. And he said, "You're wrong. You need to honor your father and your mother." And that means taking care of them. It also means you continue to give them weight in your life. Continue to include them in your life. Spend time with them. Talk to them. Listen to them. Yes, they talk 95% of the time about the past and about details you might care less about. But you honor them by listening to them. Too many people in my generation, hear me well, baby boomers, too many people in our generation are simply waiting around for their inheritance. It's a fact. This command reminds us that as adults, our primary role is not as childlike takers, but rather as mature givers to our parents. When we honor our parents in that way, we honor God. Leviticus 19 says, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God." See, the two go together. You honor the aged, you revere your God. The sad fact is that whether we're children, teenagers, young adults, middle age, isn't it true? None of us have kept the fifth commandment perfectly. Anybody here want to claim that? Did you ever lie to your parents? Did you ever speak poorly of them? Have you weighed their advice lightly instead of heavily? Have you ever felt that they were in your way or demanded too much from you? Not one of us has been a perfect child except Jesus. Except Jesus. As a child, we're told that Jesus went down with his parents to Nazareth and he continued in subjection to them. Luke 2:51. That doesn't mean there wasn't any strain. There was. You know, as a 12-year-old, as an adolescent, there was tension. When he stayed behind at the temple instead of returning home with his parents to Nazareth. Later, there was misunderstanding when he kept on preaching instead of stopping by to visit his family. But Jesus honored his parents right to the very end of life. He couldn't personally care for his mother in her old age, but he saw to it that she was provided for. He asked his friend John, remember on the cross, "Take care of my mother." So from the manger to the cross, Jesus honored his parents. But here's the deal. Jesus is more than just an example to us. Jesus is a savior for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for our breaking of the fifth commandment. So I could come to one of my daughters when they were younger, and I could say to one of them, "You know what? You didn't do your homework. I told you to do your homework, and you didn't do your homework." After hearing her excuse, which would be a lame excuse, I'd say, "I don't care why you didn't do your homework. I told you to do it, and you didn't do it." But if I was trying to get my daughter to understand the gospel, I might say to her, "You know what? You think you're a pretty good girl, but you're not. God wants you to obey me all the time, but sometimes you don't. How can God accept you like that?" Now, because my daughter is the daughter of a pastor, she would know the answer has something to do with Jesus. And she'd be right. Jesus is the answer to that problem. God accepts us not on the basis of what we have done, but on the basis of what He has done. And one of the things He has done is keep the fifth commandment, thank God. It's almost as if Jesus did our homework for us. And then He did everything else a person is supposed to do. So let me encourage you this morning, strive. Strive to keep the fifth commandment your whole life through. But also remember that Jesus is the only one who kept it perfectly. Let's give grace to our kids. Let's give grace to our parents. And let's remember that Jesus is the perfect Savior because He was the perfect child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for teaching us through it. And we really do pray that we could be a church full of people who honor their father and mother. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that first and foremost, we honor You. We respect You. We listen to You. And we give weight to You. And we thank You for those people that You've put in our lives who have taught us to do that. In Your name we pray. Amen.